Hello and welcome to the DeFi Daily, a 10-minute or less DeFi and crypto update. I'm Amy here with Pat, and we're recording live on Clubhouse. You can follow Pat at PatYSF to listen live. We'd love to have you join and ask some questions. Today is Monday, March 15th, 2021, and this is our 100th episode.
100 episodes! Yay!
Pat is
excited.
I can't
even believe it.
It's exciting.
Can you believe it's been 100 days since we've been in quarantine?
More. 365 days.
Feels like 100 days. No, it's amazing. I can't even believe it myself. Although technically, if it was really DeFi Daily, we'd be at our 367th episode or something like that. But I don't. We didn't really start right at the beginning of pandemic. Close enough. Anyways, we're live on Clubhouse right now. Please join us. Pat White SF, follow me. Get in here, ask questions, get involved, do what you want to do. Markets took a beating today. Overall market cap of everything is down 4.5%. Bitcoin off 10%. So Bitcoin, really the big news for today is Bitcoin crossed 60K over the weekend. So I actually went as far up as I saw it at 61 something. I'm not sure it quite hit 62, but I think we're going to have to call the new cap 62. I'm sure on some exchange somewhere it hit 62, even if it didn't hit that across the board and everything. So really exciting. 62,000. Almost can't believe it myself. But then, of course, today is down to 54,306. Ethereum off 7% to 1,748. Everything else is doing... Cardano was off down to a dollar today. Uniswap off of its high of 33, off 7% down to $28. Chainlink off of its high down to $27. Bitcoin Cash off of its high down to 8.5%. USDC is still $1. Good for them. Good way to do it. So yeah, it was a mixed day in the market, but overall good for Bitcoin. We're all happy about it.
All right. The DeFi Daily is brought to you by Bitwave. Bitwave is a digital asset management platform that does tax tracking for DeFi and crypto. So if you need help figuring out your taxes that you owe on staking for liquidity pools or lending pools that you did in 2020, Bitwave is here to help handle your gain loss reporting, accounting, and crypto invoicing all in one place. You can check them out online at bitwave.io or on Twitter at Bitwave Platform. The biggest story today is the DNS hijack attacks on Pancake and Cream.
Brutal. Absolutely brutal attacks, man. So this attack is related to a problem with crypto, with dApps in general. And people are starting to work on this problem, but they're not working on it fast enough, honestly, in my opinion. The high-level issue is that as decentralized as everything is, it is still very centralized. So where this hack is really going to be bad, this, you know, when you go after any of the individual platforms themselves, it's rough and that's not great. And that's there was obviously people going to do Pancake today. What happened was that there was, so the way this hack works is that essentially someone goes, it's not a hack on the blockchain. It's not a hack on a server that the group controls. It is someone going to the DNS registrar, which is like GoDaddy. It's someone going to GoDaddy, convincing GoDaddy that they are the owner of the domain, you know, pancakeswap.com. GoDaddy is like, oh yeah, you're totally that person. And then you change the pointer from the real pancakeswap.com to your malicious pancakeswap. And what they did is they basically popped up a thing that said, hey, you need to give us your seed key because there was a horrible issue. And you need to give it to us right now. And if people put in their seed key, they would go and steal all of their money. So it is a nefarious hack. It happens to everybody. I mean, this is not constrained to the DeFi world. It happens to Microsoft has actually had, I believe, Hotmail. If I can go back, and I'm digging deep in my memory right now, but I believe Hotmail actually had a DNS attack like this against them. Most, tons of different people have had this. Where it gets really nefarious is that with a dApp, it's, you know, man, like it is your whole business is this website. Now, doing this to PancakeSwap is bad enough, but where it's really going to be nefarious is the first person who does this to like Zapper. Zerion, one of those, because essentially then those are the gateways into a lot of these DeFi products. So doing it to one of those will just like be a body blow to the system. The different ways people are doing this is you can host these websites on a local IPFS node. So IPFS is one of the decentralized protocols for file storage. Filecoin would also work for this, but essentially you could take the website and host it somewhere that you could access and you know is true. There are, a couple of different startups and blockchain startups that have started to do different types of things around assurance to the DApp itself, but really not nearly enough. I mean, this to me is really the next, essentially the biggest problem we're facing right now are flash loans. After that, it will dawn on everyone the enormous problem of reliably guaranteeing a DApp that you're going to use. And that's really going to go into, like, you know, once businesses start using this and other people start using it, that's really where it's going to hit it. So this is a huge issue. This was a really nefarious attack. I don't know how much money really would have been, you know, hopefully people in DeFi these days are relatively sophisticated and enough people have told them not to ever type your seed words in ever to any website. I believe that is the case, but of course I'm sure someone got hit by this and that really sucks.
That's really sad.
Yeah. Yep.
All right.
A moment of silence.
Are their websites back? I think earlier today, at least, it was still compromised, and Pancake had been tweeting out, you know, not to access the site.
It was super unclear. And the way the DNS works is it can take 24 to 48 hours for these IP address pointers to propagate around the world. So essentially, either use Zapper, you know, interacting with those blockchains through Zapper right now would be safe. Through the smart contracts through Zapper or one of those would be safe, or just, you know, if you can do it, just hold off for a day. Just wait till tomorrow.
All right. So explosive rallies from Scale and Polygon prove that the Coinbase effect continues to be a big mover for small and large cap altcoins, and also some strong fundamentals played into their prices going up.
It's a pop on pretty much any time. Like, this is not just when it is
first listed.
Well, it's not just Coinbase either. It's really any of the exchanges. When any of the exchanges first list a coin, you see a pop on it. I think it tends to be that I would say that this is still a very much a sign of the usage of DeFi. People say DeFi is early. DeFi is early. Like, DeFi is so early that I still, when I talk to people who are in crypto, they don't know what we're talking about. And they still, like, sometimes look at me kind of strange. DeFi is so early that the people who are the absolute bleeding edge of crypto aren't in DeFi. But everyone in DeFi looks at this and says that this is the future of financial markets in America. And that's certainly what I believe. So So anyways, that being said, is that a lot of tokens that are only traded on DEXs, they just don't have the liquidity behind them. I mean, and it's not to say that the liquidity providers, it means people who are in demand for those tokens can't get access. And that goes for a lot of people there are millions of people who are consumer investors on Binance, Coinbase, Kraken, Gemini, all of those that are not in DeFi. I still think that the people using DeFi are in the 5, 10, maybe 100,000 people. I would be shocked if it's that high. I think we're between, like, you know, 10 to 50,000 people really using DeFi. And so when you expose a coin to 10 million people that hadn't seen it before, yeah, you're going to see a bump on that because they're excited. Maybe they've been reading about in the rags. Maybe they've heard about it and suddenly they can actually buy it without having to do any crazy wallet craziness with MetaMask or whatever. Yeah, of course you're going to see a pop.
Next, Cardano smart contracts to work with various programming languages like Java, C++, Python.
Yeah, I wanted to talk about this because it's super interesting. I think it's a buy signal for Cardano.
Investment advice.
Not investment advice. Well, it's a buy signal. That's not me telling you to buy anything. This is one of those things that I really like as a person in DeFi who likes watching all the different blockchains. This is something that as a computer scientist and as a practitioner, as an engineer, terrifies me. It is nigh on impossible. As we have seen every single episode of the last 100 episodes of DeFi Daily, I think the longest, one of these days we'll look at, like, the longest streak we went without a hack. I don't know. I wish I had tagged every episode with, like, hashtag hack so we knew. But, like, every day is a hack. It is hard enough to write good code with a language that is designed for smart contracts and actually has tons of tooling around security. Putting C++ onto smart contracts while technically very interesting and from a pure engineering standpoint, kind of cool, from a security practitioner standpoint, scares the crap out of me. I think this is a terrible, 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 terrible idea. I hope no one ever does this. It is absolutely atrociously bad idea. But from an investor and a technical standpoint, yeah, it's kind of cool. So opening up more developers to blockchain is not bad. But my God, it will be so hard to secure this. I mean, it's hard enough with Viper and Solidity. Using C++ would be a nightmare. So that is my take on this. I hope people are thinking long and hard about this.
All right. Well, that'll do it for today. Thank you, as always, for listening to the DeFi Daily.
All right. Take it easy.